Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, Doug. It's December 14th, 2023, and it's a sad day for comedians and comedy because a much beloved comedian who goes by the name Kenny DeForest passed away. Got in an accident. He's on a bike and got hit by a car. And you know, a GoFundMe was started, and a ton of money was raised. And you know, it's always terrible when these things happen because you know, I don't know how old he was, but I'm guessing like 40s or something like that. Yeah. But anyway, just anybody who is a listener of this show is potentially also just a fan of comedy in general and may be familiar with Kenny, may not. But comedians are all, it's one big fraternity where we all sort of know each other and have met each other, but there's just, you know, there's holes in that that fabric that just happened, where like I have lots of friends who were sad about Kenny passing and I'm sad via them. But I didn't know the man, but everything people say about him, and I'm going to, you know, watch some of his stand-up clips now, but everybody always said, I'd heard his name before. It wasn't the first time I'd heard of him. But you have a similar experience, Doug?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know him personally, but like you're saying, like, it's, you know, especially sad, and like social media feeds with all of her friends, you know, that we're close, that, you know, have nothing but wonderful things to say. And of course, it's just so tragic. He's so young, and it was obviously very unexpected and a terrible accident. It's just, you know, it is nice to see when things like this that are horrible to happen, it is nice to see the comedy community, I guess, knowing that it is a community, you know.
They rally around. It just makes me think about the concept of a living funeral, though, or a living wake, just because the things people are writing and saying about him, like, would mean so much to him, you know.
Yeah.
It sucks, but, you know, it is also for the living to you know, to discuss people who are gone, you know, makes you feel better about it. So I've just been, you know, getting ready to do this show, I was just thinking, well, we have to address it, but it is, I assume you were similar to me in that you might not have ever met him. He was mostly New York City based.
Yeah.
And East Coast. And you and I have always been, you know, Texas and California. So, but lots of my friends, you know, that travel would run into him. And that was the thing, that the thread through all of the comments about him was that he was just somebody that you're always like happy to see, you know, which is,
yeah,
I know those people, you know, there's comedians that just like are just fun to run into no matter where or when, you know, and just knowing them is such a thrill. So RIP Kenny DeForest, a nice, a funny dude. We had a guest lined up for today who is under the weather. And it's one of those things where they're like, I'll do it anyway, you know, if you really need me to. And it's like, no, we don't need you to. Get better, you know, get better.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about you and your name for an hour at a later date.
It'll be a better show.
Yeah. And boy, I wish that, you know, when somebody like what happens with Kenny DeForest, this makes me realize how much I appreciate just having – you know, whether I go first or any of our guests go, like whoever goes, like just that this exists, it's just an hour of just kind of getting to know somebody in a way you don't normally get unless you're like a super fan who keeps track of what people's middle names are. This was a long ass cold open, but we've got some fun ass shit coming up right after this song. Hey, Doug Mellard. Normally I say our guest's name in that spot, but I am excited about the guest that was going to be on today. So we'll definitely have that to look forward to in 2024. I think it'll be like two or three episodes from now because of the whole reschedule. But I was just about to say who we have on next week, but like, I've got this real, like, I like feel like I'm jinxed or something that, you know, life's really turbulent right now in general. And, you know, performers had to deal with the pandemic and then the strikes and just, you know, inflation, all the things. And, so it's just, I don't know what point I'm trying to make. Oh, is this
oh, but I get like you jinx it if you say who's going to be on. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People cancel, you know, and it's also a time of year where people get sick, you know, and people can get injured or sick at any time of year. So when somebody's like, hey, you know, I'm not feeling well, I'm like, okay, fine. We'll, you know, we'll put it off. But I think this is my overall point is just that I feel more jinxed than ever before, because like if I bring up a name of a guest that's coming up on one of my future shows, that person's going to cancel.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as I let the cat out of the bag, then they're going to go, okay, I can't make it. But it's just how it is these days. And I appreciate anybody taking the time out for these things. And I have to say, Doug, you know, I think we're both likable enough that it feels like 98% of our guests say after it's done, that was fun.
Except for that one.
Well, that's why I said 98%. I gave him a generous 2%. I don't know. That guy might have had fun too.
I think he did. I think we were on the 2% on the other side of that one.
Yeah, he was having a blast because he was like, he was in a big car and had alarms. And
talking about himself, but not in a way that was fun.
anyway, so we don't have a guest today, but that, you know, that shouldn't stop us from giving you a fun, probably shorter episode. It depends on how long it takes us to get through what I am calling and seeing Doug's getting sick just thinking about people
getting sick. It's that time of year.
Listen, Melly Mel, it is time for you to face the holiday movie roundup. I should have come up with a Doug pun that had something to do with holiday movies, but I didn't. Anyway, holiday movie roundup, which means this. We're about to find out how many of the top 10 grossing Christmas / holiday, but let's face it, there's no Jewish movies in the top 10. There's no Kwanzaa. There's no other holidays, really, other than the Christmas itself. So these are the top 10 grossing Christmas movies of all time. Now, you've grown up and watched movies your whole life, and especially probably with friends and families around the holidays, you know, with your dog, whatever.
Oh, so, I love watching this crap at this time of year. The best.
So how many do you think of the top 10 grossing Christmas movies of all time have you seen? Keeping in mind that there's an obvious slant towards being for children. Well, they're just, I think there's like one or two are rated anything higher than a PG.
I would bet 4 to 5, because I have a feeling some of these are just more mainstream that Like there's a couple in my head right now where I'm like, I just don't have as much interest in, you know what I mean? Because it
Okay.
just felt way too
Yeah. But saying I bet
lamestream.
4 to 5 makes you, it shows you do not understand how betting works because you have to pick one.
Okay, I'll do five.
Nice. Half. You're
Yeah.
going in for half. Everybody else that's listening, just, I'll trust you. You could tell me later. But how many do you think you've seen? Think of that number. Maybe tweet it at me on X at Doug Loves Movies. Okay. All spelled out and everything. I got Doug Loves Movies because a guy grabbed it years ago. And then when I finally, wanted to start a Twitter account for Doug Loves Movies, I just, was like, hey, I wrote to the person who grabbed it. It turns out it's a fan that I know. And so it was really nice of him to have, you just handed it over.
Oh, wow. Didn't hold you
Yeah.
hostage.
All I had to do is sleep with his wife. Okay.
Oh,
And by that, I mean actually go to sleep. She was having insomnia and I came over and made her so bored she fell asleep. All right. What are we doing? Oh, yeah. Top 10 holiday movies, so to speak. Number 10, making $205 million. I don't even know if this is domestic or worldwide. I'm going to say domestic, because that probably would affect it if it's worldwide. They'd probably be less about, American Christmas. There'd be more stuffy British Christmas sh movies. Anyway, have you seen Doug Mallard, the motion picture called The Holiday?
I have not. Which one is that?
Cameron Diaz, Kate
No,
Winslet,
that's what?
switch boyfriends for the holidays.
Oh, clever.
No, I think they just both meet different men, but they both. Oh, I don't like it. Like when I watch it,
It
I
sounds
don't enjoy
terrible
it.
already.
I don't like it. I mean, I get that people do love it, but it just, I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy the pratfalls. I don't like that Cameron Diaz, like somebody one day woke up and said, oh, we're just going to have her fall down a lot when she's in movies. I think that's why she retired young.
All the injuries.
Yeah, because I think she really wanted to be a character actress, but I think they just somehow decided she was hilarious. And anyway,
I guess because of something about Mary, they're just like, you're
that
a
and
comedy
that was
person
like,
now.
oh, she's a girl that gets along with the boys kind of thing. She got that
Yeah.
reputation for that, even though I think she was play acting. I think she's kind of a girly lady. But then she got like she was really silly in the Charlie's Angels movies. I mean, those were silly movies, but
Oh,
she
yeah.
was even sillier in them. And she just got, yeah, she just somehow became a comedy actress. And I think she's perfectly talented, but I don't like her movies. So, and Kate Winslet, when has she ever been in a comedy you've enjoyed? I'll answer that for
Right.
you. Never.
Does Eternal Sunshine count? Kinda. A little. Dark.
I, yeah, I
Barely a comedy. There is
guess. I
comedy, but.
mean, she's like the lighter character in that's for
Yeah.
sure. She
Yeah.
brings some joy to that eternal sadness. But The Holiday has also got Jack Black, who of course I love,
Okay.
and the fourth person I think is Jude Law, I want to say. So it's
Oh, wow.
basically
That's great cast.
I think the American girl meets a British guy and the British girl meets an American guy, and they're both like staying in each other's winter like they switch houses and meet guys. But anyway, so like those four people, I don't even know if they hardly ever even come together. Like, because a scene with those four actors, I think would be interesting, but
Yeah.
it's just a lot of like Cameron Diaz slipping in the snow and stuff. And so I say to The Holiday, and it is not on Doug Mellard's Christmas movie list.
No.
Now, I'm going to guess each time whether or not you've seen the
Okay.
next film. Coming in at number 9 in the top 10 highest grossing holiday movies is Elf,
Oh.
which you've
Oh.
seen.
Yeah. I love Elf. It's definitely a rewatch every year.
I almost forgot to guess. Yes,
I
you've
kind of
seen it.
gave it away maybe by the reaction, but
Yeah.
I think you would have guessed that anyway. It's great. And
Well, I
didn't it
definitely
get
got to
Favreau
guess
Iron Man too?
that. I guess that's a way to look at it. Yeah, because Elf was like a huge hit, and
Yeah.
he really like you know I gotta give him credit that like, especially for a young writer director type, like he really he really nailed the the tone of it is really incredible.
Yeah.
It just works. Like Bob Newhart recently said that like that's his role that he's happiest he did is Buddy the Elf's dad, Papa Elf,
That's so cool.
because he just when he read the script even he said that he just knew that it was going to be like a movie people would watch every Christmas.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
And it really is like, and it's also like you can even watch parts of it. I mean, I get sucked into it
Sure.
completely whenever it's on, but if I've only got a few minutes and I see a scene, any scene from it is pretty enjoyable in and of itself.
Yeah, and
Elf.
it's a great for the kids and adults kind of film too. It
I
just
think
really nails it.
so. Yeah, it really does. With this whole silly premise of just Will Ferrell just going around acting stupid
I
and
saw that I read that he was prone to like tons of headaches on set because of all the sugar he had to eat.
oh God, and just all the yelling and just it was probably freezing out there and he had to wear his stupid little elf outfit.
Probably my favorite part is the out of nowhere he gets hit by a taxi. That gets me every time. It's such a good fall too. It's great.
Well, kudos to him, I say, because he refuses to do Elf 2. He like just
Yeah.
won't even consider it. And I'm glad that they haven't figured out some way to, go around him and just do it
Sure.
anyway. Just have like, it's Buddy's son and have like, who's the young version? Like now it's Pete Davidson. Even taller and thinner.
My God. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I mean, from my mouth to the movie studio's ears, I think that if they're gonna do more Elf, but he'd have to be his son, like, and he'd have to be dead. Like, just don't make Will Ferrell put on the outfit or act like that way. At all. The
Yeah.
end. End of Elf. Put that idea on the shelf. All right. Coming in at number eight. I believe you have seen this one. I should say that Elf made 225 million and this one made 245 million. I'm saying you saw it. I'm ready to put a
Think I know
check
what it
mark
is.
next to Love Actually.
Yes, I have seen that one. But kind of recently,
Okay.
Flynn made me watch it. She said she thought I like it.
And
And Love
you.
Actually, if I remember correctly, it's like one of those kind of debated Hollywood movies or Christmas movies,
It's
right?
there's a lot to talk about because it's like seven different storylines.
Yeah.
And in most of them, there's somebody or more than one person who acts despicably.
Yeah.
And then there's one that's got a child. Like the kid, he's grown up to be a good actor, but the kid that falls in love and Liam Neeson has to like guide him through his first heartbreak. It's just brutal. It's just like go on a roller coaster, kid. Shut up. Like he's too young to be that romantically upset. And it's really weird in a movie where two actors they just keep going back to the continuing vignette of like if a porn film was so exquisitely photographed that they would need stand-ins to not only stand and do the positions but also simulate having sex with each other. It's the thing that doesn't exist really, but it does in that movie, and it's weird. I wonder if the stage musicals, because they're doing a stage musical of Love Actually. I wonder if they'd incorporate that or just
Oh.
cut that out, because you could live without it for sure. I mean, it's the most chaste looking, like it was even more chaste than, like, you know, softcore pornography, but it was still in this family comedy that also calls the hot lady that Hugh Grant's character gets involved with. Part of what's holding him back from being with her is how overweight they say she is. Like,
well, I don't
does
remember
Flynn
that.
Think that makes any sense?
I don't remember.
You know, you have to be really sitting there, like, you know, out to get the movie, because I've done a movie interruption of it where you're sitting there just looking for things to comment on, and it's just rather wild how people really do bring up that this woman's overweight and she's gorgeous.
Wow, yeah, that happens. And there was something we were watching recently, a very similar thing, where I don't know if it might have been a little boy or something, which is even worse, to like a fat kid to a little child. And it's like, I remember we were both angry at the TV. We're like, that kid, I think it was like an 80s movie, so it was just different, you know? And it was just like, he's not fat. Why are you calling him fat?
No, they're straight up mean about it. And they, you know, now they still, you know, get away with it here and there, but you know, hopefully there'll be less of that.
That's messed up.
You know what else I want less of?
What?
The way that these next two movies were made. Because everything is scary and weird looking to me. And you have to have seen number 7, $315 million at the box office for The Polar Express.
I've never seen it.
Well, let me tell you,
because it's really long, right? Isn't that part of it?
No, I don't think it is. I mean, it's long, probably for like an animated movie meant for kids, because I think it is. It probably does push like 2 hours, maybe, or maybe it's 140. But maybe also people call it too long because it goes forever, seemingly. Like, you know, it is a train going to the North Pole that picks up children in the middle of the night. They wander out of the house without any parental supervision and then just get on this train. So it's already like setting a very bad example for children. To just, you know, somebody can just pull up in a van and say, hey, this is the Polar Express, get in, you know? So it's just totally setting up the creeps to do their thing. Now, some people might say, well, that makes you a creep for even thinking about it. This is a wholesome movie. And it's like, well, Aerosmith is in it, but as little elves. So that is terribly disturbing. And then every adult role is played by Tom Hanks, but the movie's animated, so they don't all have to look and sound like Tom Hanks. You know, he doesn't have to try to disguise his voice. You know,
well, he was great at doing that in that Elvis movie. So I see why he wanted to try.
He likes to stretch. He really does. But boy,
I think I just stayed away because I think he got ripped apart by critics. And then everybody talked about how scary it was. So that made me a little curious. It'd be fun watching the show or something.
Bunch of children are the main characters, and they're just their eyes and their expressions. You know, it's kind of like if you go back and watch the first Toy Story, like how rudimentary the human characters were, and how eventually they learned, oh, if we want human characters in these things, we've got to just make them cute Disney-fied kind of characters, because we're still not getting, you know, even with video games and stuff. I mean, that's why that show The Last of Us is so popular. It's like, oh, what if this was, you know, not these stiff looking CGI, you know, these video game characters. What if it was just real flesh and blood people? You know, I mean, that's what I hope will stave off the whole AI thing. But that's what I hate about Robert Zemeckis. Is one of the greatest, most, you know, brightest filmmaking talents, I feel. And he suddenly fell in love with this motion capture animation stuff and did Polar Express and Beowulf. But in another movie that made a shit ton of money because they got Jim Carrey to do it, number 6, which I'm guessing you haven't seen, is A Christmas Carol.
No, I have not seen it.
Yeah.
You're correct.
I mean, it looks kind of cool, but it's just that same old dumb story about the three fucking ghosts coming to scare a guy into being a nice person.
Yeah, I've gotten enough of
And
that.
you know, but it's animated and Jim Carrey's playing multiple roles, you know, like he likes to do. And it just it all just is, it's way better. Christmas Carol I like way more than Polar Express. I mean, Polar Express, like the main child just has these giant fucking demon eyes. He just looks like a weird little robot monster. And then like when there's a musical number, it's like they just go hot chocolate, hot, 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 hot chocolate. And it's just like, write a fucking song. Don't just stand around chanting hot chocolate rhythmically.
It's just such a bummer because, Robert Zemeckis has done some great stuff, and then it's when a movie like this comes out from someone like that, it bums me out because it's like, but you could have been doing something cool with this time, like,
Well, he thinks it's cool. It's just like James
oh, of
Cameron
course,
thinks it's
yeah,
cool.
of
James
course,
Cameron
but
thinks he's the coolest man alive, spending 10 years to make a sequel that added nothing of any value whatsoever to the Avatar story. Full disclosure, I did not see
and
it.
didn't it take him like 15 years to conceptually to get to the first one? I think
I
it's
mean, he
like
just put
a
so
huge
much
chunk of his
time into
life.
these
It's crazy.
movies.
Yeah.
Like it was a worthwhile gamble. Like he's made worthwhile gambles in his life because the amount of time and effort he put into Titanic when people thought that was going to be a huge flop, and then the amount of time and effort he put into Avatar, like you know, I guess he delivers in a sense because people eat it up. But I think that both of those movies are seriously flawed despite being massive hits.
Sure, of
You
course.
know, the people don't necessarily know. So. Let's get out of this terrible discussion of
Yeah,
Robert
thank you.
Zemeckis ruining his career. But he still has some of my favorite movies of all time. And part of the reason I like his movies so much is because they have, like, Back to the Future has such intricate plotting and stuff that, like, you know, certainly there's going to be holes in it, especially in parts two and three, but it's still pretty cool
Because
how
they got
much
hoverboards.
it's pretty cool how many plates he can keep spinning, you know, and.
Yeah, for sure.
And somehow make it work. Okay, so number five is something I'm guessing you saw, and it's a $345 million to Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which is the Jim Carrey, Ron Howard adaptation.
I have seen it. Yeah.
Yeah,
It was
probably
fun
mostly
enough.
for the dog. It's a cute dog.
Yeah. It was
But
cool seeing seeing those
he's
things
good
come
at
to life a little bit.
yeah, and Jim Carrey does a spot on impression of like the faces that Grinch made in the
Yeah.
cartoon and the voice of Boris Karloff. But like you know, as a 21-minute short that they turned, you know, 20 half-hour TV special that they turned into you know, an hour 45-minute movie. And so they had to add a lot of stupid shit. But
Like Grinch as a kid.
the weirdest part is that they, and apologies to anybody who's heard me on any of my movie podcasts or this one, having these same complaints over and over again. But they make the Whos in Whoville, they make them all shitty, greedy little monsters who are all
Yeah.
ugly looking and all are vain and just want to buy things, and then the Grinch convinces them that hey, Christmas is more than that. It is the weirdest, like, why would they change that?
Yeah.
Other than like, you know, Jim Carrey being like, no, I want people to really love the Grinch at the end, you know, like he should be right the whole time that Christmas is over-commercialized. But anyway, people love that movie too. I can't get over it. Whenever it's on, I just watch for a few minutes. I'm just stunned by things that happen. Like the Whos have a party at one point, and people like someone throws their car keys into a bowl with a bunch of other car keys. So, like, implying that the Whos were all like
Swingers?
swingers.
Whoa, I don't remember
That's what I'm saying, Doug. You're not
that.
watching these movies with the
Whoa.
intensity. Like, remember when we saw Roar at the Fantastic Fest,
Yeah.
right? you remember that movie and everything that happened in it. I mean, A, because it's just so bizarre and terrifying, but also because you were talking about the movie while you were watching it the entire time.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So you you miss less. I mean, sometimes we miss something because we talk over dialogue, but we try not to. But like, you know, sometimes you'll miss something. But like, that's when I do these movie interruptions, that's when you go, holy shit, somebody just threw their car keys in a bowl full of car keys. Like, you don't notice that when you're watching it on, you know, Freeform, you know, while you're doing your laundry.
That's so odd. Yeah.
Or, Doug, here's the best part, is I've been talking about this for years without even double checking to make sure that happens. And I may have misinterpreted something. You know what I mean? I may have.
Yeah, could it be to not drink
I may have Mandela
drive?
Affected it. What?
Could it be to not drink and drive?
That's exactly what it is. They're a bunch of fucking drunks. No, you know how the
greedy
town
drunks.
Whoville, they all walk. They all just walk. Or they have, if they ride on anything, it's a bicycle with 8 seats.
Yeah, and a horn.
You know, it's on some crazy contraption. But that's a movie where they just, you know, could have just really brought the cartoon to life, and then they just decided to do things. So, like, you know, how you feel about those things is just going to determine your overall enjoyment of the film. Number 4 made $358 million, is a sequel. I'm pretty sure you've seen The Ridge, but maybe you never saw Home Alone 2 Lost in New York?
Oh, I have. Yeah, for sure.
You have?
Yeah. Oh, so I bet I'm going to nail the 5.
Because of your love for the first one?
I love Home Alone, yeah.
Yeah, so Home Alone 2, you were like in as soon as it was happening.
Oh, sure.
Like, let's go.
I mean, it's a retread for sure, but still fun.
Yeah,
enough.
Well, it's wild how they, you know, managed to go to a completely new location, but still have the same villains doing the same shit.
Yeah.
And falling
and forgetting
for the same
Kevin,
shit.
Of course. Yeah.
They fall for the same shit. Like, they don't learn any lessons from Home Alone. It's like they never saw Home Alone 1. But, of course, infamous now for the Donald Trump cameo.
Sure.
You know, can't do anything about that. I thought some streamer was threatening to, like, we'll show it with that. We'll cut that scene. But I don't think that ever happened. I think that was like just somebody being silly.
And
like,
wasn't he just in it because if they wanted to use some location that they used, he had to be in it, I think.
Oh, I'm sure he strong-armed them. But also, he really was, for better or worse, because, you know, New Yorkers don't, as a general rule, don't like him. But, like, for a time, he was, you know, really just synonymous with New York. Like,
yeah,
everywhere else in the world, you just see him or New York and you think of, you know, which, you know, doesn't make any sense. But that's what happened. Okay, speaking of things that don't make sense, number 3 on this list, not only do I hope you haven't seen it, but maybe there's Christmas trees and stuff in it, but I just haven't noticed because they've made so many sequels that I don't think are holiday movies at all. But somehow Wikipedia has decided that Alvin and the Chipmunks is a Christmas movie.
I have not seen that. I know Martha Kelly has.
Yeah.
But
I bet you it takes place at Christmas and maybe even has Christmas presents or something as some sort of storyline thing. But once they started making more Chipmunk movies, I just watched those and never looked back. So I didn't remember it being specifically a Christmas movie. But I guess,
Weird. I guess
that makes sense because, you know, anything like, you know, Alvin and Chipmunks has existed in so many different forms over the years. Like, I think there's a classic, like, radio track of them singing one of the famous Christmas songs, like Rudolph or something.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that was a big hit in the 60s, I think. So maybe they forced it in.
Yeah, I don't think there was any Christmas in Chipwrecked or the prequel. I mean, Squeakquel, or or the Road Chip. The most underrated of the series, the Road Chip. Number 2, you've seen, because you've seen Home Alone a million times. And this got very exciting because I feel like you're not going to have seen the number
Oh,
one
and it all comes down to that, because
movie.
I've seen four now, and I almost went four or five. I went with five, so it all comes down to number one.
But I think I've counted that you have seen five of these.
Okay, well, Love Actually, Home Alone, Home Alone
Elf,
2. Oh, Elf, yeah, so five, yeah.
the two Home Alones, and Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Right, gotcha. I
So
got
this
Elf.
one will put you've got a perfect score. This one will put you at six if you've seen it, but it'll keep you at a perfect score if you haven't. So, of course, that's what I'm rooting for. But we have to squeeze in one commercial break in this show. So let's do that right now. We'll be back with the brief and exciting conclusion. Probably not worth the wait.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back, and number one on the list of top 10 grossing Christmas movies that I believe Doug has not seen, but perhaps he has just out of some weird. I don't know why you would have done it, Doug, because you don't have kids. You have a reasonable spouse and dog. And number one is from 2018, the animated going at it again, but simply called The Grinch.
Wow, you know what? I have not, but this
Perfect.
past weekend I saw like the first 5 minutes, so I'm not counting
Okay, but
that.
you didn't watch the whole thing.
No, I literally we were around some family, and there was like a 3.5-year-old cousin that really wanted me to watch Grinch at 7 a.m. first thing, and he was so pumped, and he would like turn just the first few minutes I watch. If he really liked a part, he would turn. I was seated right next to him, like almost face to face. He would turn and scream in my ear, "Watch this part!" And so I had to take a time out after that. I didn't hate it. It seemed fun. I'd check it out.
I think same, like again, they'd have to stretch out the story somehow, but also the animation looked good. I think that
Yeah, it
that
looks cool.
company that made it, they make the Despicable Me movies and the Shrek movies, so they know their way around, like, making animation funny for adults. So I do think it would be good probably if I watched it, but the original cartoon, I love it so much, and I'm just,
I know it's hard to get
I'm
past
just
that.
stuck with it, stuck in my mind there. I just like to
Sure, yeah.
leave it at that.
And like the Jim Carrey one, it gives you some visuals. It's interesting, so I did want to check that out. But this one, it's just another cartoon. So for me, it's, yeah, you can't beat the original. So why, yeah.
Yeah,
But I
which
like
makes
Doctor
my grand
Strange.
total, I saw 9 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was the only one. Wow, crazy.
Yeah, I've never seen The Grinch. Again, probably a few minutes of it one way or another, because I do
Sure.
remember thinking it didn't seem like it was bad. Like, I think I'd like it a lot more than the Jim Carrey thing.
Yeah.
But thanks everybody for listening to this Christmas movie wrap up. No matter what your feelings are about that particular holiday, Hashtag war on Christmas. Do you got anything you want to plug, Doug?
I'll just say again, I've plugged it a million times, but Stream, the film I helped with, The Disappearance of Toby Blackwood, on Peacock or Amazon Prime Video now, or buy it as a Christmas gift to me.
That might be, what, they'll buy it and send it to you? They
well, give it as a Christmas gift to somebody.
Yeah, look, I bought it.
It helps me a little.
I bought it for you. Here's a movie that you made that I bought.
I did have someone try to book me very randomly recently for like a private event, but they sent a clip of me. And I was just like, why do I need to watch my clip of me doing comedy? I was so confused. Like, what is this?
Maybe they're just verifying that, you know, that was you. Yeah. Do you recognize this comedian? Because that's who we want.
Are you still this funny?
Yeah, but it's important you do a plug of that movie on every episode for as long as it's available, because people pick and choose episodes they listen to based on guests and stuff.
Right.
Maybe people listen to this episode because they prefer a guestless episode.
There you go.
Which doesn't happen very often, but here we are. My plugs are Benson Movie Interruption is back at Dynasty Typewriter on Saturday at 4 o'clock. Before moving to our monthly spot of every month at Dynasty Typewriter in LA on the first Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. is Benson Movie Interruption. Most of them will be your choice, where we don't pick the movie, you do. You bring in DVDs and Blu-rays, and we all vote and pick one to watch, and it's super duper fun. And then Doug Loves Movies is now in LA on the third Tuesday of every month, and that this next one will be, of course, December 19th, Tuesday at 7:30 at the Lab at the world famous West Hollywood Improv on Melrose Avenue. For all of my dates, go to douglowsmovies.com. Doug, maybe you know, we'll have a guest next week, but I don't mind talking about this a little bit with our guest. Maybe, you know, see one of these movies you've never seen.
And, yeah, I want to see Cameron Diaz Fall a bunch.
Give us a little report. Yeah, watch that one with Flynn, because that one is like a lot of women seem to appreciate the holiday and where it's coming from, because it does. I do applaud that it highlights two women are sort of they're the main characters, so it's always nice when that happens. But then when you just have to have them falling down in the snow, I don't know.
You know what I thought was going to be on there? There were two movies that kind of surprised me: either Jingle All the Way or Christmas with the Cranks. One of those,
right? But Christmas with the Cranks, I think, was kind of a flop, and is just kind of always referred to because of it's got a fun name to say, and you know, has a weird cast of people that probably all, you know, pretty much never work together again. And then what was the other one you said?
Jingle All the Way.
Oh, Jingle All the Way, I think was like kind of a sort of a hit, but not a huge hit.
Gotcha.
At the time. But I think everybody that was a certain age when that came out really has propped it up over the years. Because that's another one that it's, you know, it's kind of fun, but it's also kind of a rough to just sit down and watch it in a movie theater.
Yeah.
Was kind of tough. All right, we'll be back with a guest next week, and then you know, we'll have a couple of weeks off, and then, you know, we're bringing you three new episodes a month with or without guests. And as always, Dougley Christmas sweater.